that wall.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. Vito, our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Big Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Hey, I'm terrific, Vito. Great to be here. As always, I am right where I'm supposed to be.
Where else are we supposed to be on Monday evenings at 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time? Kick off the new year talking about sports. Finally, PGA kicked off its year in Hawaii with the Century Tournament of Champions Tournament. 39 of the last season's winners converged on the Hawaiian island of Maui and competed at the famed Kapalua Resort to kick off the 2022 PGA season. And actually, it was 37 because Rory McIlroy didn't make the trip to Hawaii, and one golfer tested positive for the China virus, so he was on the China virus protocol. It was world number one Jon Rahm's rise to the top, even after not playing for over a month, and the Australian young star Cam Smith, who distanced himself from the field yesterday. Sunday's round, Al, it was exciting because at one point Cam Smith had a 5-shot lead over the field and 3 shots over Jon Rahm, and Rahm closed it to 1 shot, even tying the lead before Smith birdied the same hole that Rahm tied him with. And then out of nowhere during the day, as you're watching these two great golfers, out of nowhere, another Aussie, Australian, Matt Jones, separated himself from the field. And he ends up shooting 12 under par 61 to get within 1 shot of the lead. So then it turned into a three-horse race. But Matt Jones just ran out of holes. But in the end, it was Cam Smith of Australia who won the first tournament of the year, and he did it in great fashion with a record 34 under par. Jon Rahm came in second with a record 32 under par, and Jones third. He tied at 31 under par. Both Smith and Rahm broke Ernie Els's 31 under par record, and then Jones tied it. And man, I guess you were waiting for Cam Smith to kind of have a hiccup. You know, could he handle the pressure? But my God, that guy played measured the whole time. It was incredible. He played fantastic.
And despite the low scores, that was not an easy course.
No, Oh my God.
Watch it all the way through. Not only was it long, it was undulations, hills, valleys, a lot of waste area. The scores made it look like they were playing over at your local putt-putt, but local municipal court. But I tell you, that course, to my eye, looked very difficult and long. And these guys, I was just blown away at the skill level that these golfers have, the skill level that they have, the sport has risen to is absolutely phenomenal. 34 under for a four-day tournament. Now, that's roughly seven birdies around, maybe eight. Throw in eight in there. And how many holes are there? Oh, there are 18 holes you got to play per round. So that's seven to eight birdies around. I mean, if you don't play golf, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But let me tell you, that is just to be able to do that is phenomenal. That means if it's a par four, you're actually making it into the hole in three shots from 400 yards away, 450 in most cases.
Yeah, it was incredible to watch the two, and they were hitting bombs off the tee. I mean, they were talking about Jon Rahm hitting the ball so far, and then Cam Smith gets up there and knocks it 20 yards past Jon Rahm, and it's like, whoa, or 10 yards past him. And so, yeah, there was very little wind, and on that course, what impacts the scoring are the trade winds, and there was very little trade winds for the 4 days, which was highly unusual. And even the course is a little bit moist from what was it, 20 something days, consecutive days of rain. But the course is in fantastic shape. It was beautiful. It was incredible. I mean, if you're sitting there, you're Patrick Cantlay and you shoot 25 under par and you're eight shots off the lead, you got to be scratching your head because 25 under par will win any tournament during the course of the year. Under the PGA, so that's how good it was. It was really incredible. Fun to watch, just really, really good golf, great putting, and like you said, at least seven birdies around is what you had to have. At least.
I'm happy to get one. That's just me.
That's a bad day.
I'm happy.
Oh, no.
I'm happy with a par.
Some of those holes you'd be happy with a par. Holy cow.
Ooh.
I mean, that 18th hole, 635 yards, man, that was really cool.
Now, you're pretty much a scratch golfer, so what's your view from the world of a scratch golfer versus my world of a 13 handicapper? Two completely different points of view.
Oh, I think you hit it on the head. I think if you listen to Phil Mickelson, his analysis after the first day was that he was tired. And he was getting fatigued. And the slopes on that course, you're not walking flat like you would in Florida or out here on Long Island where you would, you know, you have no mountains. I mean, it's a very demanding course and it can tire you out. And if you don't have the stamina for it, you know, what'll happen is you'll see what Phil did the first 2 days on hole 17 and 18. He just, his legs left him. And you don't have the ability to perform at your greatest, and that's what makes what Jon Rahm, what Cam Smith, what Matt Jones, what Patrick Cantlay, what Justin Thomas did even so much more incredible, because those guys were shooting lights out. Even on the 18th hole, they had enough energy and stamina. So, to play on those kind of pristine conditions, it would just be, I'd be frothy at the mouth. Oh, my God.
So for all you non-golfers who think that golf is just, you can smoke and drink beer and play, try walking roughly, 10 miles easy, 10 miles a day for 4 days and keeping your head and physical stamina about you, it is not easy.
No, it's not. I mean, it really is. And then if you have, look, you can do all the training you want and just to not to just digress, but I mean, you can, there are many different things that can happen. I had one tournament where it was it was up and down. It was hilly and it was demanding to the point where my caddy was was pushing a cart and was actually perpendicular to the parallel to the ground, you know, pushing a cart up a hill. And it was like that for several holes, and I ended up getting plantar fasciitis from it. And it was the most painful 10 holes of walking that I've ever had. So, I mean, that's why what these guys are doing are incredible. But they have great trainers. They have a great training regimen. And it would be absolutely unbelievable to play a course like that. That's one of them that's on my bucket list.
So if you want to get a feel for it, folks, next time you go to the gym, go on the treadmill, and then take the elevation up to 5, 5.5 slope, and then just walk a mile or two and see how you feel, and then get back to me. I want to hear.
Put a 40-pound bag on your back, too. Golf bag.
Well, heck, you could do that, too, but you don't even have to do that. You do 2 miles at 5.5 slope.
Yeah.
On a treadmill, just walking, just a nice leisurely pace, and then you come back and tell me how your legs feel. Mine were wobbly after a mile. Yeah,
it's fun. I mean, it's tough. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Really fun to watch. Hey, there's one guy who's not having a good time, but actually he's probably going to reprieve, and that's Novak Djokovic of Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
He has been under house arrest. He was detained by the Australian government because of proof of vaccination.
No, it was house arrest.
What's that?
It was house arrest. You're not exaggerating here.
Wasn't that something? I mean, the Australian government arrested this guy. What let him go? The United Nations test country of Australia and Zealand are implementing their oppressive and tyrannical edicts, keeping the fear-mongering alive and well. But this time it infected world number one tennis star Novak Djokovic of Serbia. And Djokovic fought back. And, you know, the sad part of it is that Djokovic is also the defending champion of the Australian Open. And to show how dictatorial and tyrannical it was, I mean, Australia is trying to prevent this guy from playing. And the thing is, it's when you get banned, it's a 3-year ban. So he's 31. That means he's not able to go back until he's 34 or 35 years old. And the United Nations globalist cabal, they are screwing with people's livelihoods, because irrespective of the facts and of Tennis Australia's decision, which took safety concerns and safety standards into account in giving Mr. Djokovic his ability to play the WTA's first major of the year, the Australian Open, the Australian government still would not allow Mr. Djokovic into the country. But the Australian federal court quashed the government's decision to cancel the Serbian tennis star's visa on Monday, ending his detention and appearing to clear the path for him to play in the Australian Open. Excuse me, he's 34 years old now. The 34-year-old is fighting deportation and cancellation of his visa over the country's strict China virus vaccination rules. The government canceled his visa shortly after he arrived in Melbourne on Wednesday, that was last week, because officials determined he didn't meet the criteria for an exemption to an entry requirement that all non-citizens be fully vaccinated against the China virus. Djokovic argued he didn't need proof of vaccination because he had contracted the China virus last month. Australian medical authorities ruled that a temporary exemption for the vaccine rule can be provided to people who had been infected with the China virus within the last 6 months, which actually almost follows the NCAA rulings now, that if you've contracted the China virus and have been infected with it in the last 90 days, you are considered vaccinated. So here you have the courts had to overturn what the Australian government's tyrannical decision was. And the circuit court judge Anthony Kelly noted that Djokovic had provided officials at the airport with a medical exemption given to him by Tennis Australia, which organizes the Australian Open, and two medical panels. So it's not like he is bucking the system. He went through the proper protocols, and yet the tyranny continues. But it's nice to see that Djokovic was able to fight back. And at this point, he did win that round. But apparently, the health ministry for Australia, the health minister, stated that he could unilaterally decide on revoking Mr. Djokovic's visa and kick him out of the country, which he'd kick him out, and it would take effect for 3 years. This is how unstable this fear-mongering world cabal is against people. It's unbelievable what's happening. Truly unbelievable.
All right. So let me get this right. Djokovic, tennis player, to get into this country, you have to have a vaccination card that you got vaccinated for the virus.
Right.
Doesn't say anything about booster one and two. You just have to have the vaccination card. But we know the vaccination doesn't work because if you're fully vaccinated, you can still contract the disease and transmit it to other people just as an unvaccinated person. Is that right? Is that fair?
That's a fair assessment. I'd say that's very fair.
So there's not a lick of difference between vaccinated and unvaccinated when it comes to catching and transmitting the disease. In fact, even AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, was vacationing down in beautiful Miami, and she was double, triple vaxxed, and she still got the virus.
That's because somebody wanted to date her. That's what the China virus wanted
right.
to date her.
Right. You hate her because you want to date her. Well, whatever. That may be the case.
Right.
I don't know. Who's to say? Who am I to argue that? But I wouldn't want to date her. But she still was triple vaxxed and got the COVID. So the vaccine does not work. Now, granted, your symptoms might be a little bit less. But you can also do that with monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. Anyway, but effectively, this country, like you said, is tyrannical because they're not letting you in unless you have this card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you got some kind of disease. Yeah.
And Djokovic went the extra mile, okay? So he was given a medical exemption by Tennis Australia, which means that they knew about him contracting the China virus last month,
mm-hmm.
right? Which then he was infected within the last 6 months. And then two medical panels reviewed his case and gave him the okay to play. So he's not contagious. He actually has the immunities, the antibodies. And yet the Democrat Marxist of Australia are trying to find a way of keeping this man out from defending his title when he followed the rules that were put in place, all because he doesn't have a vaccine card. That's just unbelievable. This is how irrational this has become. This is the fear mongering that's been put in place by the world body. So it doesn't matter if you're Australia or the United States or Canada or Europe, you know, there's still that level of fear-mongering that seems to be the idea of winning and controlling the masses, irrespective of where you are in the world.
Not a strong argument in my book.
No. No, it really isn't.
Gotta call bullshit. Yep, gotta call bullshit on that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and now you screw with a guy's livelihood, you know, and we're seeing it here in America, you know, with Dictator Joe. But just one more note on sports is tonight's the NCAA championship. It's Alabama Crimson Tide number one versus Georgia Bulldogs number three. It is the rematch to be held at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. Alabama will be led by Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young. And Georgia will try to avenge their loss last month in the SEC championship to Alabama, which Bama won 41-17. Alabama coach Nick Saban has the only one loss in 24 meetings against his former assistant coaches when Jimbo Fisher, the head coach of Texas A&M, and I know that Hank's brother is that Tommy is chomping at the bit at that one. Because I still maintain that Jimbo Fisher is overrated, but hey, he got the best of Saban. So Nick Saban assistant coach is speaking of Tommy, here we go, ready? Here we go.
This is TJ, dedicating the song to Black Betty. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. Whoa, Black Betty, Bama Lamb. She from
Hank refuses to play that song. So Jimbo Fisher was head coach of Texas A&M, beat his former employer, Nick Saban, and Georgia's favored by 2.5 points over Bama. The over-under on the game is 52.5 points. Al, who do you like in this game?
Georgia.
I have to agree with you. I got a sneaky feeling, that he's that Georgia's going to win that game.
Yep. And either way, it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to it, and I will be watching.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to it. If Georgia plays the way they did against Michigan and they hit hard, they were hitting hard. They were quick off the ball, and they really contained Michigan. They could beat Bama, and we'll see if they can hold the Crimson Tide quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young, and contain him. I think they can. I think if you get that kid rattled right now, I think they can throw the guy off. But it's going to be interesting. 52.5 points, huh? 41-17 was 58 points. I think you might be able to take. It could be a blowout. You know, I'm going to go with the over.
Either way, it's going to be. I think it's going to be exciting. So we'll just have to see. But where there's craziness is in the NFL, which neither one of us watch, but it's definitely worth mentioning because the coaching carousel has begun. You have NFL coaches being fired left and right. The Miami Dolphins' Brian Flores fired after he brought the Dolphins from a 1-7 beginning, season 1-7, to a winning season. He's going to be the most wanted. The Vikings from Holder Mike Zimmer. Fired. Let's see. Well, Broncos. Vic Fangio. Fired.
That's
Raiders.
Anti-Italian.
John Gruden. Fired.
Yeah.
Did I pronounce his name wrong?
No. Anti-Italian. That's, you know, in Denver. The NFL's anti-Italian.
I think that there's a case for that, and I think that you should file a discrimination suit.
And then you were talking about the woke Las Vegas Raiders. Yep, they canned Gruden, did you say? Yep.
Yep, Raiders fired John Gruden, of all people. He's a good coach. So there
Your
you go.
Bears, too. Didn't the Bears fire their coach?
Yeah, the Bears, too. And the Jags, Urban Meyer, which we all know, he got a little touchy-feely. And he just turned in. He's a mental train wreck, always has been. Never liked Urban Meyer, but he was fired. And he's had the Denver Broncos, too.
Yeah, the Broncos. Yeah, that was that Vic Fangio.
Yeah, Vic Fangio. Yeah.
And Mike Nagy.
Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah, Mike Nagy. I forgot about him.
I mean, Matt Nagy.
Yeah. The craziness ensues in the NFL. Just another reason not to watch.
Yeah, and the NFL loves parity too. You know, they want everybody to be 8-7 or 9-7 or, you know, 10-6 or whatever it is, so they can, you know, they can have their parity. Comedian Bob Saget suddenly passed away yesterday. You might remember Bob Saget from the sitcom Full House and for hosting America's Funniest Home Videos. He was down in Orlando, Florida, staying at the Ritz-Carlton and was found unresponsive in his hotel room. There was no signs of foul play or drug use, and Bob Saget was 65 years old.
Yeah, what a shame. Funny man. Great career.
Yeah, 65.
And they have a good golf course there if you're ever in Orlando. Not to take anything away from that, but.
Oh, man, yeah, no. Oof. Yeah, but rest in peace, Bob.
Totally unrelated comment, but okay. Yeah, but Bob Saget dead, and he'll be missed. Very sudden. So, our condolences to the Saget family.
Yeah. He was funny on America's Funniest Home Video. And if you watch Full House, he was pretty funny, too. The Chicago Teachers Union is still on strike, and kids in Chicago are being denied an education. And it's bad enough the Democrat Communist Party is dumbing down Americans and down, you know, they continue to dumb Americans down, and now teachers are denying children an education. So it's not just COVID destroying children. It's also the Chicago Teachers Union that's illegally striking. And this after the feds gave the Chicago the city of Chicago $1.8 billion of that $100 billion Fed giveaway last year, and yet it's still not enough. It's incredible what we're seeing today.
It sounds like these teacher unions just the teachers don't want to work, and the unions are backing them up. There's no reason they shouldn't have in school schooling. In Florida,
yeah,
it's fine. They're just in school schooling.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know what the hell the whole thing is out, you know?
Laziness, hubris, arrogance, corruption.
You know, Holder just sent a note here that Bob Saget got a COVID booster shot on December 13th, so a month ago, less than a month ago. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Wonder if it had anything to do with that.
That would be interesting if he had a heart attack or myocarditis. Is that the name of the vaccine-induced heart attack?
Yeah, myocarditis. Yep.
There we go.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's blood clots. You know, and speaking of which, you know, when about the side effects, the Gateway Pundit also had an article, and it was also brought to the attention from our buddy here, Holger, a gentleman by the name of So Derek Andrew McIntosh, age 41, from Monticello, Minnesota, passed away unexpectedly on January the 4th, 2022, due to complications from blood clots resulting in cardiac arrest after being forced to get vaccinated. In his obituary, McIntosh had been vehemently opposed to taking the vaccine. He had no choice but to comply with the unconstitutional vaccine mandates. And really, this is a situation that many people are put into. Yes, we do have a choice. However, you know, when people are faced with their livelihood and you're 41 years old, you're in no man's land. And with regards to you're not eligible for Social Security, you probably have, what, maybe 15, 16, 17 years invested in a job, and you feel as though, you know, you have to comply. And this is the garbage that the government has programmed people with. This is the garbage that people won't talk about. You know, it's the programming, it's the fear-mongering. And so this guy either loses his job or gets the jab. Well, do I provide for my family or do I get the jab? This guy got the jab. During the last weeks of his life, however, the world turned dark with heavy-handed vaccine mandates. The governments were determined to strip away his right to consult his wisdom and enjoy his freedom. He had been vehemently opposed to taking the vaccine, so thank you, Joe Biden, for bringing on the premature death of a life not fully lived. His visitation is held on Saturday, January 15, 2022, at Peterson Grimsmo Funeral Chapel. May his soul rest in peace. I don't know. What's
Do you have
your...
to be vaccinated to attend?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
Well, I joke very inappropriately on this, and, you know, that's just too bad, but it's funny. But Citibank, just to give you an idea, they have no jab, no job. That means no vaccine, no vaccine shot, no vaccination, no job. Because on January 7th, Citigroup staff in the United States who have not been vaccinated against COVID-19 by January 14th, that's 4 days from today, will be placed on unpaid leave and fired at the end of the month unless they are granted an exemption, according to a company memo seen by Reuters news service on Friday. The U.S. Bank announced its plan to impose new vaccination rules in October and now becomes the first major Wall Street institution to follow through with a strict vaccine mandate. Its move comes as the financial industry grapples with how to bring workers back to offices safely and get back to business as usual at a time when the highly infectious Omicron coronavirus variant is spreading like wildfire. Now, other major Wall Street banks, including Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, Chase & Company, have told some unvaccinated employees to work from home, but none has yet gone as far as sacking staff. As the as we have oral arguments going on now at the Supreme Court on this very mandate issue. This is scary, scary stuff that will impact each and every one of us in one way or another.
Well, it is. It really is. It's getting to the point now where, you know, you should not have to choose between your job or a jab. You shouldn't. And, you know, these tyrannical edicts that are being put forth by these anti-constitutionalists like dictator Joe Biden, the little man, you know, thinks he's you know, he can wield with a heavy hand irrespective of the Constitution. And it's really sad that we have come to this. And the side effects alone are scary. And, you know, as was happened with this gentleman here, you know, who knew that there were possible side effects. And the issue of heart disease, you got Gulf Dogs put a post in the chat. A friend of mine just got out of ICU after COVID shot. He now has congestive heart failure. And it's one heart case after another. How many pilots have gotten the jab? At least six pilots have died from blood clots after getting the jab, the required jab. Some pilots have been grounded as a result of blood clots. They can't fly. I mean, and this is insane. This is absolutely nuts that we have this type of tyranny that is going on right here in the United States. And it should not happen. And, you know, you've got this campaign of disinformation and misinformation. It seems to be what is occurring today, and that was the theme of today's show, is it's been one campaign of disinformation and misinformation. And it even comes down from the Supreme Court of the United States, particularly Justice Sotomayor. You know, she uses emotion and fear, and she blatantly lies about how many children have been infected by the China virus. Did you hear that on Friday? On Friday, she was given an interview, and she flat out lied. It was during the oral arguments. She flat out lied. She says we have hospitals that are almost full, at full capacity, with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children, which never had been had before, in serious condition, many on ventilators. And that is an absolute lie. I mean, finally, some of the left-wing news media outlets, and particularly Washington Post, they couldn't hide this because it happened during oral arguments. It was in Sotomayor's own words, okay? And they called her out for BS. She got four Pinocchios from some other outlet. And this is a Supreme Court justice who is using emotion and fear instead of the rule of law. Remember that term that the Democrats love to throw out, the rule of law. Okay, they want to make it sound so important that they're part of this republic because they believe in the rule of law. And you have a justice of the United States Supreme Court flat out lying because the actual number of kids being treated for the China virus are 3,500 at most. And all 3,500 are not on ventilators. Matter of fact, even the dictator of the CDC, I'm sorry, the director of the CDC, she blatantly lied and she started hemming and hawing. And yet the director of the CDC was talking about unvaccinated children. And she started bloviating about these children who are not vaccinated. And then she says, well, there are a lot of children who are not eligible to be vaccinated. Yet she's bemoaning the fact that they are unvaccinated. Well, no shit, they're unvaccinated because they're not eligible for vaccination under the dictatorial CDC guidelines. And yet she him, hawed, stammered, and she went around what Justice Sotomayor had said. She wouldn't even address it. I mean, this is how dishonest these leftists are in Washington, D.C. I mean, even the CDC director couldn't correct the Justice Sotomayor. She had to just dance around the statement, and then she started in about kids being, you know, unvaccinated, and most of the kids in the hospital are unvaccinated. And then she says, well, those kids that are unvaccinated really are not eligible for vaccinations. Well, that's a misinformation. I mean, you try to dance around and skate around the answer, okay, of calling out Justice Sotomayor for flat out lying and instilling fear. And then you're covering it up by saying that kids aren't vaccinated, children aren't vaccinated. Well, most of them are not really vaccinated, but, you know, we'll just monitor that. And how many? Well, we don't really know at this point. Blah, blah, blah. Yet, you know, condemning the false information and the misinformation by a Supreme Court justice is not on the CDC's radar. You can't contradict a fellow anti-constitutionalist. And first of all, wouldn't you think that Sotomayor would be impartial? Because isn't it about the Constitution and the constitutionality of a unilateral edict that's been put forth by little dictator Joe Biden? I mean, this has to be about the constitutionality of Americans being forced to get the jab.
Dig into that a little bit more, because that's a great question, because where we're at now and today, we're listening to Supreme Court oral arguments on COVID-19 vaccine mandate for large employers. On the on-deck circle, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the consolidated cases, National Federation of Independent Businesses, the NFIB, which you know well is a very good organization, versus the Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and the Ohio versus Department of Labor, Occupational Safety and Health. So it's all about OSHA. We've all heard about OSHA. Well, Mr. Keller, who is representing the NFIB, the good guys in this, is drilling and getting drilled by the Supreme Court. That's what the oral arguments are all about. So I listened to some of this today, and it was fascinating. And at 26 minutes in, I'm going to read one exchange that kind of sums up everything that I heard, is that Congress and states and government with emergency power have the power, and we acknowledge that, Mr. Keller says, over vaccines. So Congress and states and governments with emergency power have the power over vaccines, and that means getting the jab or not the jab and forcing a mandate to get the vaccine, et cetera. Now, the idea that OSHA would be the agency that is not even under Department of Health and Human Services, that does not have expertise over communicable diseases, is the question and the problem. Now, Justice Kagan said, OSHA has a lot of expertise. It came out with a well-supported policy that has political leadership behind it and world political account. More political accountability than one could wish for. Why would they say it's up to us to decide about vaccination policy? Now, that's Justice Kagan. She essentially said that OSHA has a lot of expertise and has the ability, due to their expertise, to jump over the Congress and other governments with emergency powers. Because what the Democrats are doing, what Biden is doing, is he's trying to give OSHA, a government agency, the authority to make vaccine, essentially the mandate, to make the vaccine mandate legal. Now, what OSHA heard was not an industry-by-industry analysis. They said they were doing that because they thought the larger companies had the administrative capacity. They were not denser working environments. You could have a company with 100 employees and every person is working somewhere else. Even the narrow exception, 9% of landscapers, 5% of highway workers, are the only ones that would qualify. Occupations in which you would think someone is only working exclusively outside, they are covered by this. It is those types of inconsistent positions that are not taking full account of the problem that could have been explained and should have been explained, Justice Kavanaugh said. Yeah. and it's so complicated. They're making it so complicated because they're talking about corporations, 100-plus employees. Now, I can guarantee you, Vito, that if this mandate goes through, whatever happens with 100-plus corporations with 100-plus employees will filter down to the private sector and the small businesses, because they'll be afraid that if they don't follow the mandate too, that they'll be open for legal action, fines, or lawsuits. So this is a really big deal, and you've got OSHA literally having more power than Congress and local governments with emergency powers. That's what's at play here. That's what the Supreme Court should be looking at. Does OSHA have the power to do these mandates constitutionally, rather than what Sotomayor is saying, and she's making judgment on what she believes to be the science, proven inaccurate.
Before I bring on our friend Sue, I just want to say with regards to the OSHA, and I don't know she'll go on into more of it, but she wants to talk about OSHA. So they're basing it on OSHA's basing it on 1970 statute 655C, which was passed, the OSHA statute passed by Congress. So let's welcome our friend Sue from New Mexico. Good evening, Sue.
Hey,
how are you?
Sue.
Well, Happy New Year.
I'm doing fine. Oh, thank you. I won't talk long, having a bit of trouble breathing. But as you know, I was a nurse 35 years, and we had to work very closely with OSHA, studied their manuals and everything required every single year. And OSHA does not have squat as far as this virus. This is not what OSHA does. OSHA mostly deals with work environment, and it has to do with chemicals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But as far as CDC goes and, you know, diseases and all of that, it's a bunch of BS, and it really infuriates me. And I think the Supreme Court justice knows this. I think it's just like Obamacare. They're overstepping. They're making up stuff to get something passed that is nothing but a detriment to the people of the United States. Even the CDC doesn't know what they're doing. There's over 50 variants right now of the COVID virus. The only way to get this into control right now is herd immunity, and that is by allowing the virus to take its course. And the virus is mutating down to being less and less dangerous. And I haven't had a booster. I'm 65, multiple health problems, that if I die because of COVID, so be it. That's the chance I'm going to take. But we have to think about our children and the rest of the people in the United States. And the Supreme Court, by God, better stop this BS. And I got to go, but that's my rant, and that's my take on it. And OSHA doesn't know anything about this. I guarantee you that, and I know over 35 years of dealing with OSHA. And we went through a lot of, you know, the AIDS virus, the Hunter virus. We went through all of that. OSHA never had one thing to do with any of it. Anyway, thanks for putting me on, and great show.
Anytime, Sue.
Hey,
thank you for
Sue.
Your comments. That was beautiful. That was well stated. And you take care of yourself.
Yeah, Brother Tommy's on the phone.
On
he wanted to say, Brother Tommy wanted to say hello.
What? Oh, Brother Tommy.
I wanted to say more than that. Yeah, you played my intro earlier. I'm like, what the fuck? Because I had the phone over in the corner, and my wife's like, what's your intro? Hey, doing it now.
This is DJ, dedicating the song to Let Betty.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam-a-lam, whoa, Black Betty, bam.
My wife telling me to calm down, Vito. I love it. My wife, we're literally driving back from getting my beer, and she's like, calm down. But
well, I had to play it because I had to issue a disclaimer. I had to issue a disclaimer, Tommy, because I was saying that Jimbo Fisher, which I said he's overrated at the beginning of the year on Hank's show, at the beginning of your college football.
Multiple times for that.
Yeah, and he ends up beating.
Don't go down that road if you're suggesting I haven't given you credit for that. In fact,
I have friends
that I call like high school, All-American high school football players and stuff. I'm like, this motherfucker Vito called it. Jimbo Fisher's overrated. So if you're saying that I didn't give you credit for that, you're wrong.
No. I was just saying that
he was overrated with FSU. He destroyed FSU. He was what he did to FSU makes me sick. I am not a Jimbo Fisher fan.
I don't even know who I'm talking to, Al or Vito, but no. Everything Vito said when I talked to him once on one of Hank's podcasts was absolutely accurate. I just didn't know it, and then I did my due diligence, and I'm like, holy shit, this Vito motherfucker's right. But the problem you guys have, I listen to the start of your show. I'm like, Bob, what time does it start? He's 5:30. So, of course, I call him at 5:30. Evidently, it starts at 6. I think you guys got to start getting your act together a little bit better, but that's a different story. So I'm like, I'm going to listen to Vito's show. I called in once, as you know, and the phone, well, you pretended the phone didn't work right because I know you didn't want to talk to me. You saw 813 and you're like, oh, fuck, this is Brother Tom. He's going to be on one of his fucking drunken tirades. But I've got to correct you guys real quick.
All right.
Then I will be like Sue, who is a nurse for 35 years but doesn't know that if she has problems breathing, she's not supposed to go to the doctor. I can't put those things together. That's my problem, I guess. But you guys freaking, and I used to be in the industry, you guys talk about golf like it's a sport of endurance. And I'm going to get it down on Al here real quick. 10 miles a day?
Bring it on.
Really? Hmm? 10 miles a day? Really? The average course length is 6,500 yards. Now, if math serves me, that's a little over 3 miles a day. Who are your guys' biggest legends, or some of them? Lefty, Phil Mickelson, whose nickname is Hefty. Who else you guys got? You got the Walrus. Don't tell me it's a sport that you have to have endurance for. Absolute bullshit. And that's all I wanted to call in to basically say is absolute bullshit. I loved your guys' political commentary. But don't ever pretend that golf's, you've got to be an athlete to be a golfer. Bullshit. You've got to have rich parents to be a golfer.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about bowling, you might have something there. But golf, you ever try walking? You ever try walking? Not every ball goes straight. You walk.
You took it from three and a half miles to 4 miles. Let me tell you guys something. I get nervous if by 8 in the morning I haven't walked 4 miles. I'm 56 years of age. Walking, I know you guys try to complicate it, but it's not that difficult of a thing. Go to Disney World. You're going to see people that are 100 pounds overweight that walk, you know. So I'm just saying, you guys kind of glorify it. It's like guys used to do, NASCAR is a real sport. No, it's not.
Sitting. You ever try sitting in a 120-degree vehicle with no air conditioning?
And I caught myself
going,
at the end of the going statement.
Going 180 miles an hour?
You're absolutely right. I caught myself at the end of the statement. And those F1 drivers, Formula 1 drivers, will lose 10, 15 pounds after a race. So I caught myself at the end. But my point is you're deifying golf as if it's, like, so tough. From a physical aspect, you're right. It's tough from the standpoint of you need precision, and I couldn't agree more. You want to be a scratch golfer, which rumor has it Vito is. Yes, that's difficult, but it's not physical athleticism. Tiger Woods broke the mold. He was a physically perfect specimen. But we also had Nadler. We also have present tense Hefty. That's all I'm saying. You cannot fucking pull that bullshit off on a professional basketball court. You're going to be 40 pounds overweight on a professional basketball court. You better be 7'1". That's my only point.
Well, we appreciate that commentary. That's Tommy from Hank Jones Poly Sports, and I guess we'll have to get with the Hank there to talk to him a little bit more. All right, Tom. Thank
you. You golf, Tommy?
I every time I do it, I would be probably a 20 handicap. Every time I do it, I love it. But no, I'm not a golfer. I haven't golfed in years. Hank Vito knows. We've got a brother-in-law that has a place in Maine, one of the best golf courses in the country, type of thing. So I will go and do it, and I will enjoy it. If you haven't guessed by now, Al, my favorite hole is the 19th hole. but yes, I do, and I enjoy it when I do, and I understand. See, I don't ever articulate well. I understand your appreciation for the game of golf. I totally get it, and I wish I had more. I don't have the funds to do it, you know. I'm in Florida, Tampa, you know. If I want to go on a golf course, it's going to cost me minimal $50. My wife actually works at a country club. She could get me, I should say in the background, I could get you, I'm free. I don't enjoy it to the same tune that you guys do, but I do respect the enjoyment of golf. But no, to answer your question in the most literal sense, no, I do not. But I love it when I do, if that makes sense. I know that's a discombobulated answer.
Excellent answer.
All right, Tommy, you take care of yourself. Thanks for calling in, and I'll put you back on hold, all right?
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
Hey,
take it
have
easy.
A great week, Tommy. Thanks for calling.
I like that guy.
He is one funny man.
Yeah, he's colorful, and I think it's Lefty is what Mickelson's nickname is, not Hefty. But
how old is Lefty? He's what?
51, 52? 51?
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still you know what, to walk Kapalua, it's very demanding. And you're right, you're probably going to put in 7 miles at least at Kapalua. So,
all right. Granted, I might have exaggerated with 10, but I'll take issue with that. I might have exaggerated a little, but.
Well, no, because, anyway. You know, one other thing and we'll go back to the OSHA thing real quick. One thing about the 10 miles is that you don't take into account, you know, you're there about at least an hour, hour and a half prior to your tee time, and you're hitting balls and you're walking. So, you know, you are, you're actually walking more than 6 or 7 miles. You are probably walking close to 10.
Holes, you got to count that in too.
Yeah. You're playing partners and stuff. So. So with regards to OSHA, I think OSHA was standing behind, and to Sue's point, they're standing behind that 1970 statue. And what I heard during oral arguments, was the solicitor for the corrupt Biden administration constantly using the term protecting workers from grave danger. And she was arguing that it was physically a hazard agent. COVID is a physically hazardous agent. And there's a 1 in 200 chance of dying if you're in closed confinement. So, you know, you've got the dishonest and corrupt Biden administration who is invoking this hazardous issue, this the heavy-handedness of protecting workers against grave danger. You know, factories and assembly lines where risks are a grave danger. You know, overwhelming evidence and scientific evidence with people contracting the China virus when indoor buildings. I mean, this is now they're saying scientific evidence. You know, how much harm is being done to the employee by wearing a mask for their 8-hour shift, huh? We're learning more and more people are developing lung disease diseases as a result of not getting the proper oxygen intake. You've got kids that, you know, in a 5-hour period, a 4-hour period, wearing a mask, are ingesting all of this carbon monoxide and all of these kinds of, I mean, just it's incredible what's going on. It really is. I don't, you know, and they talk about this, the science of it all. I mean, what scientific evidence do you have? Just because you say it doesn't mean there's overwhelming evidence and there's overwhelming scientific evidence. But,
well,
you know, their job is to convince go ahead.
Yeah, here's examples of physical hazards. Don't mean to interrupt, but it'll be perfect. Physical hazards include ergonomic hazards, radiation, heat and cold stress, vibration hazards, and noise hazards, as well as extremes in temperature, including noise, vibration, radiation, extremes in temperature. Those are examples of physical hazards or physical agents. I don't see a virus in there.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's the idea, though, that the bumbling Biden administration has to invoke fear. And as long as they use the term grave danger and, you know, factories and assembly lines where risks are of grave danger, you know, this is trying to normalize these tyrannical edicts. And, you know, it's stomping on Americans' constitutional rights. And let's hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing. And they side with individual liberties and freedoms. This is absolute junk. It's junk science by the Biden administration. It's as phony as climate change. And also, it taking money out of the workers' pockets. You're going to make you're going to give a choice, a job or a jab. And now we have a situation where, as Sue correctly mentioned, the herd immunity, you know, oh, the China virus, the Omicron is going through the United States and it's the most infectious. And then it turns out that the Omicron virus is not as contagious. I mean, it's contagious. It's not as severe as a Delta variant. Matter of fact, less and less people are dying from the Omicron virus, but more people now are developing an immunity, a natural immunity. And why the artificial immunity? You know, look at they're talking about how Israel is it's rampant in Israel now. The China virus has reared its ugly head and it's rampant in Israel. You've got, what, 92% of the country who's vaccinated? And how come it's rampant in Israel if 92% of the population is vaccinated? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's incumbent upon, you know, this Supreme Court to strike down these dictatorial edicts that was unilaterally put forth by this buffoon,
right?
Biden.
Yeah, because it's insane that during these oral arguments, it took over an hour. As Sean Davis says, it took over an hour for one person in the court to note that a single unelected federal agency doesn't have the authority to stick needles in the arms of every person on earth. And because OSHA issued the rule under review, framing it as an emergency temporary standard or an ETS that required all employers of 100 or more employees to develop, implement, and enforce a mandatory COVID-19 vaccination policy, which required employees to either be fully vaccinated or submit to weekly COVID-19 testing and to wear face coverings at work. The other problem with that is that even if you decide not to get the vaccine, you can't get these weekly COVID-19 tests on a regular and consistent, cost-effective basis. So it's a gaslighting routine.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Al, because I just read an article where the imbecile Biden was talking about making it mandatory for private insurance companies to pay for up to 8 China virus tests. So what's going on here? What's going on with these dictatorial edicts, you know?
That they can't even – they're making rules that can't be enforced. So what's going to happen? The company's going to have to fire these people because they can't comply with the mandated order, and they're going to be looking at fines or lawsuits. So it's easier just to fire the employee, say, hey, get the vaccine, you can't do this, or you're going to get fired.
Yeah, I just I'll tell you, I'm just – this is not sitting well, obviously. And you know, Al, I've got a – I know it's 7 minutes, but there is – I think it was from CBN News, but I put up a – I have an audio of what's happening in Australia. And I know people say, well, who cares about what's happening in Australia? Well, now that the Supreme Court is now hearing oral arguments concerning the China virus, I think we should care what's happening in Australia. And Australia is taking draconian measures right now. I mean, they're arresting people for violating their rules. They're arresting people and charging with incitement if they want to lead peaceful protests. They're seeking these people out, and they're arresting them. I mean, this is the kind of thought police, fear that these countries now are starting to implement. I mean, this is absolutely incredible what we are seeing happening around the world. And when Belly said that Australia and New Zealand are the testing grounds for the United Nations, now I know what he means. I mean, this is insane what we are seeing happening, occurring around the world. And Australia, I'm going to play it right now. It's 7 minutes long.
Yeah. And what's happening over there can and will happen here. It's not a matter of if, but when.
But when.
Coronavirus has turned the land down under, upside down. Australia used to be known for its fierce individualism and defense of personal freedoms. Well, now, lockdowns, intense tracking of citizens have people claiming the country has turned into a police state. All this when fewer than 1,200 residents have died from COVID in a nation of 25 million. Dale Hurd has the story.
In a now viral tweet, an Australian posted what they said is a view of the world's largest prison from space, a map of Australia. Australia is still a democracy, but its COVID restrictions are severe. It's hard to enter or leave the country unless you're a politician or a celebrity. Citizens are tracked with apps and soon by facial recognition. In some states, you have to have your phone scanned before entering a church. And some have been arrested for simply posting on social media about protests against COVID restrictions. The rest of the world is starting to ask if Australia can still be called a free country. Australia's lockdown has been so draconian, it's brought comparisons on social media to how Australia began, as a prison colony. This pregnant Australian mother was handcuffed and hauled away by cops in front of her children for simply posting on Facebook about a lockdown protest. The charge was incitement.
What on earth? Excuse me, what on earth?
Just put your phone down.
Can you, like, record this? I'm in my pajamas.
What's
this? I had an ultrasound in an hour before.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
This leader of an anti-lockdown group, also arrested for incitement, has now been in jail for 3 weeks.
You're under arrest for incitement?
You guys been following me?
Police helicopters look for lockdown violators, like these folks trying to enjoy an evening on a rooftop. And the government has fired rubber bullets and tear gas at anti-lockdown protesters, including children. James Allen, Garrick Professor of Law at the University of Queensland, calls it heavy-handed despotism.
It's been appalling in Australia, and I say that as a big fan of Australia. I'm Canadian, you can tell from the accent. But it's come as a real shock to me how conservative friends are perfectly happy to go along with this.
Australia consists of 6 states and 2 territories, each with their own COVID restrictions. Under a new home quarantine plan for international travelers, if you don't send the government your photo and location when it sends you a text, the police will come to your door. Melbourne pastor Paul Furlong has been arrested 3 times and placed in solitary confinement for opening his church during the lockdowns.
The reason I did was for what I believe was a greater law, and that was to obey the word of God. And so I had to choose God's law over man's law.
This church in Sydney, shown before the lockdown, was raided and fined for holding what authorities called an illegal service and for not scanning people's phones before they entered. Some pastors are now concerned that the government could require a vaccine passport before entering a church. We asked Evan Mulholland at Australia's conservative think tank, the Institute of Public Affairs, if he still considers Australia a free country.
Well, it's a good question. It's a question a lot of people across the political spectrum have been asking. These things don't happen in a vacuum. They happen when the political and cultural elites slowly take away our freedoms and they become normalized.
Australians have also begun turning in one another to authorities, East German style. In this tweet, an Australian mother was desperate to find a way home with her son and needed to cross a state border, violating lockdown restrictions. She was turned in to police. With this kind of behavior, you might think many thousands of Australians have died from COVID. But the death toll is under 1,200 out of a nation of 25 million people, or 0.0047% of the population. Almost 3 times that many Australians die every week from normal causes. But one poll showed most Australians favor living without freedom because they fear COVID more than any other Western nation.
Now, the media has just scared people senseless. The average person thinks, if I catch this, I'm going to die.
There have been several large and sometimes violent demonstrations against the lockdowns and against planned vaccine passports, and hundreds have been arrested. The government says the death toll would have been much worse without lockdowns, and is saying now that life can only return to normal when most of the country is vaccinated.
They describe giving back our freedoms as some sort of a treat, as some sort of a reward, something that can be given back to us and aren't our fundamental freedoms that were stolen from us in the first place.
The Australian journalist Clive James once said the problem with Australians is not that so many of them are descended from convicts, but that so many are descended from prison officers. It's a quote that's being talked about a lot these days. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Now, don't think this can't cross an ocean and come to us. The panic, if you will, over COVID-19 is certainly spreading. It definitely spread to New Zealand, where someone was arrested literally for having KFC in the trunk of their car. So you look at these mandates, these mandatory lockdowns. Are we going to get to mandatory vaccinations, all in an effort to stop a horrible disease? I don't want to minimize COVID-19. Particularly if you're at risk, which means, are you over 60? Are you overweight? Do you have diabetes? Those kinds of things are all precursors to having a really bad case and facing death as a result of this disease. But that's not most people. And so you look at what I consider draconian measures, where you shut down churches. We've seen that here in the United States. California had a series of lawsuits. They all lost them because of our rights under the Constitution for freedom of religion and freedom of assembly. All of this is being tested to the limits. The most disturbing thing, and you can point to a lot of things that are disturbing to this, but it's the arrest and imprisonment of someone for trying to protest against the regulations. And using the word incitement. So you try to plan a peaceful protest, and I assume that was the plan. There wasn't a plan for let's overthrow the government by force of arms, but let's have a peaceful protest. If that turns into an incitement and you can put people in jail for that, well, then, yes, you're no longer a free nation. You're no longer a free society. You do not have freedom of speech at that point in time. I hope that never gets here in America.
You know, Al, that clip, while it pertains to Australia, I thought was very telling. It was telling in many ways. One is, you know, we have a constitution here in the United States that we have a Bill of Rights specifically that gives us the right to free speech, or it should. Obviously, the Marxists have another idea. It gives us the right to peaceably assemble, which is being abridged. And it gives us a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I don't know what Australia's constitution is like, but it does not have those provisions in it. Now, you have a situation where you've got this trial run that's going on in Australia that take a look at what the or how absurd this all is. You have 1,200 deaths. You have a country of 25 million. Let that sink in for a second. You have 1,200 deaths and 25 million people. And you have a government that is going to be tracking you with apps by apps and soon by facial recognition. You have a government who is requesting you send photos when you come into the country of yourself. And if you don't show a photo of yourself, they're going to come knocking at your door. You have a government that is arresting people that are trying to peacefully protest. And this is why it's so important that this vaccine mandate in America be stricken down by the Supreme Court in America. Because one, you've got bumbling Biden has overreached and overstepped his boundaries. He's overstepped his boundaries with using and weaponizing OSHA. And then deeming a workplace to be in grave danger. You're talking about a 99.8% survival rate. And as Sue rightly said, the best way to combat this China virus is herd immunity. And this is what the government, I fear, does not want. They don't want this herd immunity. They want to be able to use this as a tool, as a weapon, and fear, instill fear upon the people, abridge their constitutional rights, and then berate and basically go after those that they deem to be the cause of this, which would be the unvaccinated. Make them into the lepers of the 21st century. When in fact herd immunity will help rid the effect of this of the China virus. Oh, well, now they're worried about another variant. So now we're going to have booster shot number 7. And how many more people are going to die from the China virus vaccine? How many more pilots are going to be grounded because of blood clots? How many more of these 41-year-old males are going to develop blood clots and then die? But that's okay. That's okay because the government is in control, and they are controlling the masses by instilling fear and with dictatorial edicts as being put out by little dictator Joe Biden. I hope that the U.S. Supreme Court does the right thing and they adhere to the United States Constitution and they respect and protect. They protect Americans' rights. You know, and it's funny, one last thing. I found it kind of ironic that Sotomayor, the left-wing jurist who was appointed by Barack Hussein Sotomayor Obama, that destructive individual, I find it incredible that here's a woman that stands up abortion, you know. She stands up for my body, my choice. But now we've got a situation where you've got people are standing up saying my body, my choice, and she's not going to respect that. It's a one-way street with these frauds on the left. Go ahead.
Well, also what needs to be in the conversation is what is the role of the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court is there to be a check and balance of an overreaching executive branch or legislative branch, meaning the Congress and the Senate, and the executive branch being the president. The Supreme Court is the third branch, and it is each branch's job to keep the other branches in line. And if the Supreme Court does not shut down this mandate and give it a stay so it can be debated more, it'll be a gross injustice that is really not going to be good for our republic.
No, it's not. It really isn't. It's, you know, it's already been proven that little dictator Joe Biden has, you know, has infringed upon all five components of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. All five mm-hmm. components about prohibiting the free exercise of religion, by abridging the freedom of speech, abridging the freedom of press, the right of the people to peaceably assemble has been abridged, and the petition to the government for a redress of grievances has been abridged.
Yeah.
Now, at some point in time, the U.S. Supreme Court's going to have to uphold this.
On the basis of a defense of a limited government, separation of powers, and federalism on that alone, and that if Congress wants to make this a law, then the Congress has the ability to make this a law by going through the legislative process. But they're trying to short-circuit because it's much easier doing a mandate and calling it a mandated law is much easier than actually making law. And this goes against how our constitutional republic is supposed to operate cleanly and fairly.
Correct.
It's just a short circuit, and they're gaslighting us in the process. They need to make the Supreme Court defend that OSHA can mandate this and that this should be a law. But we've seen this before where the Supreme Court becomes political and makes bad decisions. Could it happen here? Absolutely. Is there any way to stop it? I think it's out of our hands, and it's wait and see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, with this court and how they are going to rule, and if in fact they are going to rule at the side of liberties and freedoms and the American people, mm-hmm. or if we're going to watch how our republic will come under attack by the very court that's supposed to uphold our freedoms and liberties. And Mayor, she made it just an absolute abhorrent comment, and yet there's no apologies. You know, there's absolute defense of this moronic statement that she made, and this erroneous statement that she made. It was a flat out lie. There are not 100,000 kids on ventilators in America. It's just a flat out lie.
Right. Which means that she's getting bad information and she's treating it as fact. What other bad information is going into her decision to approve this mandate? That's the question that needs to be asked, in my opinion.
And then what about states' rights? You know, if the state of Texas and the state of Florida have rendered the federal mandate unconstitutional and they will not abide by it, what happens with the Supreme Court making that decision? And I think that what about the 10th Amendment, the states' rights? I think if Florida and Texas have ruled and South Dakota have stated that the federal mandates will not apply and we will not jeopardize a person's right to work in our state, I think that the Supreme Court needs to strike down this dictatorial edict, even if they try to hide behind the Occupational Safety and Health Act of 1970.
Right, but their ruling will state whatever rulings were previous become moot. They go away because the Supreme Court is the final arbiter of these types of issues in a court of law. There's nowhere else to go, right?
Correct.
That's how I understand it.
That's correct. I mean, Congress...
Right, so whatever stays happen in the Sixth Circuit doesn't matter. Whatever stays happen is basically sidelining the Constitution.
Yeah. This is really bad. I mean, what we're faced with right now is really bad. And then you listen to what's happening in Australia, and that should be a wake-up call for America. That should be a wake-up call how government can quickly start erasing any rights that you have. all in the name of a plandemic, all in the name of a scandemic, whatever you want to call it, all in the name that the government now controls any your total existence.
And you know how they're going to come after you and anybody else? That you have to have a vaccination card to go to your local grocer.
Yeah. Yep.
To go to your doctor. To go to get a driver's license, to federal or government services, you're going to need a vaccination card just to go in. Now, you're talking, you're alienating a segment of the population. Now, you're shutting them off.
And it's not like you're not going to get sick from the China virus if you it's not like you're not going to contract the China virus either. That's the other part of it. That's the that's the damning part of it. This does not, and remember, it was little dictator Joe Biden who said, if you get the vaccine, I guarantee you're not going to get the virus. And that's crap. It's absolute hogwash. Yeah. It's a lie. He's a snake oil salesman. But this is the kind of crap that this guy is allowed to get away with.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because at the last press conference, and this is what's trending on Twitter, is Fox News Ducey. He said to Jen Psaki, I'm triple vaxxed. You're triple vaxxed. Still got COVID. Why is the president still referring to this as a pandemic of the unvaccinated? White House Press Secretary Psaki responds, you are 17 times more likely to go to the hospital if you're unvaccinated, 20 times more likely to die. Those numbers cannot be verified. But she said them, therefore they made them true, and that was the end of that. She never even answered the question.
Well,
you got
of course
the comorbidities.
Not.
Didn't the CDC just come out and say that people who are dying of the COVID virus have four more comorbidities to go with it?
Yeah. Comorbidities and now you've got the NCAA, okay, now recognizing if you've contracted the China virus in the last 90 days, you are considered vaccinated. Now, how about them apples, huh? How about them
apples?
So
if you have – wait, now are they saying that you have natural immunity, that you're vaccinated?
Yes. Because this administration doesn't talk about natural immunities, nor does it talk about what? Therapeutics. And therapeutics that work. They don't want to talk about therapeutics that work.
Right. Wait, hold on. Let's put this in reverse for a second.
Okay.
So you're telling me that according to the NCAA, that if you contracted COVID, you have the natural antibodies, you're considered vaccinated?
Within the last 90 days, correct.
So they so they made that decision all on their own, and there's nothing from the CDC, nothing from OSHA, nothing from Biden's office or Dr. Jill. None of them agree with that. They just did that all on their own.
That is correct.
Okay. God, see, I'm so confused. There's so many different – everything is inconsistent. There's no consistency here. Like Ebola virus, all right? You get Ebola, your insides are going to turn into mush and you're going to die and you're highly infective to everybody. And then they catch it, they're likely to die. But with this COVID, if you get it, you have a 99.8% chance of living.
Correct.
And here's the other thing. All these people that are dropping of heart attacks, as we started the show with Bob Saget, very possible. So if you have a myocardial infraction, that's a fancy word for a heart attack, but a myocardial infraction is a
infarction.
Side effect. Infarction?
Infarction.
Okay. So thank you, doctor. A myocardial infarction. So if you get that, then you die of a heart attack. But they're not saying whether it was COVID-related, and that's the big key. All these people that are dying of these heart attacks, maybe they're COVID-related, but that's not coming into the statistics. You're just dying of a heart attack. Off you go, bury you, goodbye.
Well, yeah, do they want that to come into the statistics? They do not. I mean, let's face it, they don't want – They don't want that to, they don't even want to admit that therapeutics work. And that's the other thing that's very, very troubling. It's how ivermectin works. Oh, it's a horse tranquilizer. And that's the DNCC's response. That's their talking points that they send out for their useful idiots to repeat. Well, it's a horse tranquilizer. Well, that's not true. Okay. There is successful treatment with ivermectin if it's taken administered the right way, and yes,
it's human
another
grade,
therapeutic
3-milligram tablets. I've got some in my dop kit. Yeah,
3-milligram tablets,
$5 a pop. Very expensive, but worth it to have in your inventory for friends or
five
family.
$5 a pop.
Sick.
All right, now $5 a pop, and it's a pill that costs 20 cents to develop.
Yeah, and I didn't have to go buy them from drug dealer Sugar Pop over at the local public pool. I got it legally.
So what's more profitable is putting someone on a ventilator at $3,500 to $5,000 a day versus giving them a 20-cent pill, and then have your useful idiots in the media refer to the treatment as being, you know, given horse tranquilizers. So now what you have is, will the Supreme Court now also look at the facts with regards to the treatment side of it? Or are they going to still be sold a bill of goods?
Yeah, it may not work all the time. There's nothing exact in science or life. It may work for some people. It may not work for others. But if it works for one person, gets them out of death's door, then you do it. It doesn't cause any harm or have nasty side effects. And yet our government is making it very difficult to get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or any of these other prophylactics, because if you're in the hospital hooked up to in the system, then you can't get these drugs. Even if your family wants you to give them the drugs, you have to take the hospital to court. It's insane.
So if someone is put on a ventilator, denied the right to be administered ivermectin or a therapeutic, and is put on a ventilator and dies, does that mean the ventilator didn't work?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Right? I mean, I don't know anymore. I mean, if we're vilifying treatments and therapeutics, you know, and we're looking at ways to get this thing under control, this China virus made pandemic, as they want to call it, then why don't we look at all the sources? And one of the sources would be what? It would be, you know, therapeutics.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, you know what? I got two hands up here. So hold on a second. Let me go in and get the... Sue, you had your hand up first here. Hi, Sue. You're back.
Hey, Sue. Welcome back. Welcome back, doctor.
Hi, I didn't know my hand went up.
Oh. I'm sorry.
No, I'm breathing a little bit better. But, yeah, you know, what they're doing in another point I made, wanted to make, and this is so much like Obamacare. When their original arguments were not working for Obamacare, what did Roberts do? Then he went to the tax, which had nothing to do with the case originally. You know, when this case first went to the Supreme Court, it didn't have anything to do with OSHA. But their original arguments are failing, so they're using the same tactics, and now they're going with something like OSHA, which most people know nothing about. But anyway, thank you for putting me back on. It's a great show. By the way, Tony, I'm having trouble breathing because we have fires here where I live, and the air quality is bad, and I am under care of doctors. So just to let him know that.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, you take care of yourself. I'll put you back on hold. Hold on a second here. But I do think, Al, we have we do have another... Welcome, Hoser. Good evening. How you doing?
Good God, I did the best I could not to call in today, but I couldn't take it any longer. Plus I wanted to say hi to my girlfriend Sue.
Oh, hey, and she's listening still. So,
yeah, it's nice to hear her voice.
There she is.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Sue. Your boyfriend's on the phone.
Hey, yeah. Holger. Good to hear you.
How you doing there, honey?
I want you to bring your show back. 2022 is going to be conservative radio. That, you know, I'm on Twitter and Getter, and I'm getting on Facebook, and this is where people need to come to hear the truth, to talk, to communicate, and to win back the House and Senate. Because if we don't, then America is gone. This is an important year. Anyway, love you, Holger, and that's all.
All right. Love you too, girl. Great to hear you.
Bye-bye.
What's happening? Yeah,
she's roping me into going back to the show.
Yeah, she is. She's trying her best. I got to send her a check. No, go ahead.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to your conversation, and it's a conversation people are having all over the world, but especially here in America, and it pisses me off that we're even talking about this shit, because when the founders created the Constitution, you know, they specifically put into the Constitution the enumerated powers of Congress. I mean, they detailed it out. 18, I believe, is 17 or 18 of them are listed there as to this is what Congress can do. You know, and if it's not one of those 18, then the states have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So case in point, when I go out tomorrow for lunch at my favorite barbecue place here, I can't light up a frickin' Camel at my lunch table, right?
Right.
It's a non-smoking environment. A law was passed to make that non-smoking because people determined that that was a health risk to people. That's not a federal law. That part of the Minnesota Clean Indoor Air Act, okay? There isn't a single law, federal law, banning smoking any place in this country, other than perhaps like a federal building, I suppose. And there's a reason for that, because they can't. Congress can't make a law banning smoking in every place, workplace and restaurant across the country. That's why they did the enumerated powers. You know, so that all of a sudden, you know, the U.S. Congress decides that, you know, well, we're just going to make a law that you can't buy a soda that's bigger than 32 ounces.
Yes.
So the point being is this is why Obamacare was unconstitutional as hell. It basically was voted down as unconstitutional until Chief Roberts, coming back from Paradise Island with his Lolitas, you know, decided to rewrite the bill. So the bottom line is, not only is the federal mandate on this COVID thing using OSHA as their SS illegal as hell, unconstitutional as hell, Congress cannot make a law stating that any business with three people or more has to have everybody vaccinated. They can't do it. It's not in the Constitution. It's not one of the – now, the state of Florida, the state of New York can come up with a law and say, hey, listen, any business with people that are unvaccinated has to pay this fine. States can do whatever they want.
And Holger,
so
have you noticed?
We have.
Let me yeah. To your point about the states. I mean, about Congress. Have you noticed that Congress has been silent over this edict, this unilateral edict that was passed down by Biden? They've not said a word about the constitutionality of it because they know they don't have the right to do it.
Well, not only do they know they don't have the right to do it, but they also don't want to wade into it because, peons, Farmer Joe's like Holger out in the hinterlands could come up with 6,700 laws that they passed in the past year that don't meet the constitutional test. So they tread pretty lightly because, they've been doing carte blanche for a long time. And they basically have been very successful in taking all the power away from the states and all that. But, bottom line is it's just, and my final point is this, is the way these communists work is they said, okay, when they map this all out on their big little whiteboard, they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to stick it to the private industry in this country. We got to shut down all of these places. How in the world are we going to enforce this? And some 24-year-old pimple-faced geek soy boy in the back raised his hand and he said,
well, we could use OSHA.
Because OSHA is a federal agency, which it quite frankly is unconstitutional itself.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the afterthought. That was like, okay, the only way we can make this effective, because they do executive orders and bullshit all the time and it never amounts to anything because there's no teeth to it. But that was the afterthought was, okay, how do we enforce this? Well, we tie it to OSHA, which is already set up to delegate fines on industries that don't conform to safety standards. So that was the afterthought. That was, okay, here's where we want to be. How do we get there and how do we make it stick? And that's when OSHA came up. It was the only thing they could do that could actually inflict some pain upon these companies. So...
No, those are great points because in the oral arguments, listening to it, that is why the Obama fools were out. I'm sorry, the Biden fools were out there talking about the grave danger, and they use that in every sentence when they were talking about the industry. They were talking about indoor working, factories, assembly lines. It's grave danger, and then they were throwing out the statistics like Baghdad Bob Jensacki does. You have a 1 in 200 chance in dying by contracting the China virus if you're working in a factory assembly. It's like, where are you getting these numbers? And just because you say that's facts and that's science doesn't mean it's true, and it's not true. And yet they're allowed to get away with it. But then again, they got away with the FISA warrants too. So why are we surprised?
Yeah. Well, I would encourage your listeners to pick up a copy of the Constitution or bring it up online and look at Article 1, Section 8, and that includes the enumerated powers of the federal government and Congress, and give it a read. And then when the Supreme Court comes back and you've got one of these justices that comes back and says that any of these things, whether it's Obamacare or it's this COVID mandate or anything like that, and their decision, that justice's decision is that it is constitutional, then that one is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is not a constitutional scholar. I mean, I'm no constitutional expert, I'm a novice to say the least. But at least I know enough to read Article 1, Section 8 and look at what the whole reason this country was founded on was so that, we wouldn't have a king again. And unfortunately, 535 people come close to being a king. You know, when 535 people start making a decision for 330 million, the founders had a little bit of a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much centralized power. So they said, okay, you guys can pass these laws that govern the, you know, you can build roads. You can maintain the military. You can build post offices. It lists them. I mean, it's like sitting down with your kids and saying, okay, here's the following 10 things that you can do on your own. Okay? One of them is you can't drive the car until you've got a license, okay? But you sit down and here's the 10 things you can do on your own, son. Everything else that's not listed there, you got to come and ask me. You know, that people can relate to that. You've got rules of your household. Well, we got rules in this country. It's about fucking time that people sitting in Washington, D.C., you know, understand what they took an oath to protect. Tired of it. I'm tired of these guys, you know, oh, Susie, my favorite little Facebook friend in New Jersey, thinks that we should pass a law that, you know, outlaws talcum powder. You know, I mean, it is just absurd. So anyway, that's my rant.
But hold your, one point, okay? This is where progressivism, the pollution of progressive politics, of progressivism, has destroyed this country and has actually trampled on the Constitution, because the very first part of the enumerated powers is that the Congress have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide the common defense and general welfare of the United States. And this is where the progressivism has destroyed the Constitution, because they are using that the part of provide for common defense and general welfare. The general welfare is where progressives have trampled on the United States Constitution, because they think that gives them carte blanche to start providing for health care and to start trampling on our rights with all of this nonsense with the China virus and the pandemic and providing health care under Obama doesn't care. That's the pollution of progressive politics, and that's why you had back in, 1999, you had Al Gore state that the Constitution is a living and breathing document, when in fact Justice Scalia who said the Constitution's dead. It's not living and breathing. And now I understand what he meant by that.
Well, yeah, but the whole thing is that, you know, you're never going to stop that disease. You're never going to stop that progressivism.
Right.
You're never going to stop these people from, unless somebody stands up to them. So bottom line is, if I'm the governor of a state and the federal government tries to pass some sort of a mandate or some sort of a law telling the companies in my state that they've got to fire people that won't get vaccinated or they'll get fined, then as the governor, I'm going to tell the company, the day you fire Joe Worker number one, the state is going to rescind your charter of incorporation in this state. We're going to shut your ass down.
That's what it's going to take.
We'll triple your fine. The federal government, OSHA wants to fine you $14,000 a day. Well, guess what? It's $42,000 a day.
It's 14,000 per employee, by the way. It's 14,000 per employee.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. But I mean, nobody will look these jokers in the eye and not blink and just, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the movie 300, you know, when they said, give us your weapons. And the Greek said, come and get them. You know, it's at that point where, you know, people have to do that. And, you know, these states have all been turned into, you know, milk-sucking, peat-sucking, you know, dependence upon the federal government, because, you know, every time, you know, little Storm A comes through, you know, Mississippi, you know, they run to the federal government. Oh, give us $50 million to, you know.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just the fact that they can't do it. I mean, it's just as simple as that. They can't do it. The mandate is illegal. It is unconstitutional. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, I don't know why people are even talking about it. I don't know why the Supreme Court is even hearing this thing.
Because
what do you think the Sixth Circuit decided to find themselves.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, what do you think the day after is going to look like if the stay is rejected by the Supreme Court and it becomes official mandate?
Then everybody will just bow down to the federal government, and people are going to get fired left and right, and same thing that's been going on for the last 150 years in this country. Everybody bows down to the central government, and because they're scared, they're too scared of Big Brother. And yeah. I mean, unless you're in a state where somebody's willing, you know, the state government is willing to fight back.
I know it's on February 11th, irrespective of what the Supreme Court does, I'm going to work. So,
yeah. I mean, I personally, if I worked for a company and they fired me because I refused to get vaccinated and they fired me according to the mandate rules and stuff, I would get legal counsel and sue that company.
Why not?
You know? And I would enlist the help of the Attorney General of my state. Oh no, that's right. That's Keith Ellison. So,
oh,
I'm sorry. I wouldn't.
Well, you
probably
can
wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but the mandate. If that mandate goes through, those options. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I think those options might be closed to citizens because it's a federal mandate.
Yeah, but then you probably would have lawsuits by the respective states, especially the red states, who would sue based on the 10th Amendment, and states' rights have been violated, because this is what the Marxists, the communists have done in the White House. They have violated states' rights, and so the Supreme Court's would rule. And I think that we would see attorney generals and governors start filing suits against the federal government based upon states' rights.
Right, but the damage is going to be done.
That's correct. The damage is probably going to be done.
But you know, to make your point, Al, if the stay is not upheld by the Supreme Court, if this were to go through, then obviously that would. You know, they always like to use the word precedent when it comes to these Supreme Court decisions and all that bullshit. You know, but the precedent would be set. I mean, it would be Katie bar the door at that point in time. Then you'd have Joe Biden, who could just sit in the White House all day long and issue federal mandates.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, well, any company with 100 workers or more has every employee has to bring in a complete listing of the weapons they own on their home premises.
That's a good point. Really good point.
Most people would say that's kind of unconstitutional. That violates the Second Amendment. Well, bullshit.
Right.
You know, this would be denying people of making a living. I think it's the Declaration of Independence that, you know, guarantees the right to what's the thing with work?
What?
Anyway.
Declaration? Let me see.
But I mean, it bottom line is it will absolutely open the door And I think this is part of the problem sometimes with these courts is they you know, these guys are like, it's like guys standing around a car with a hood up. You know, everybody's got a freaking nickel's worth of opinion as to what's wrong with the car, you know. And it gets into the, you get into the weeds, and these guys try and act so smart. You know, Alito wants to be smarter than Kagan. And, well, look at this in paragraph two. Now, look at the whole thing. And just simply grab section one or article one, section eight. Show me in that list where it says these guys can do this.
Right.
You know, but they get all up in these technicalities. And, you know, that's what Roberts did with Obamacare. Like, oh, well, no, it's not a fine. It's a tax. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, basically,
yeah,
it's
Obama
what
was...
because they're...
I was just going to say, Obama was arguing it wasn't a tax.
Impose taxes.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah. Just one last point. I know we're getting down to the wire here. You made a really, really good point. What then prohibits bumbling Biden from sitting in the Oval Office and not going out, but then unilaterally issuing edicts irrespective of congressional approval? None. Nothing. They just, this is a carte blanche to say, okay, now you, when you go into a workplace, we need to know how many weapons you have, how much ammunition you have, when did you buy it, who'd you buy it from, and then any other edict he wants to put forth. What about the U.S. Constitution? It basically, he's neutered the Constitution. He's neutered the powers of Congress, too. I mean, why do you need Congress? Congress is the one that has to pass laws. That's what it says.
Well, and take it a step further and basically do another federal mandate that any company with more than 100 workers, you know, has to get the contribution data for the last election, and every person that contributed to the Trump campaign is fired.
There you go.
There you go. Yep. There's another one. That's constitutional.
That's right. We have decided that you
there's no
that
end
any,
to it.
Any Trump supporter is a white nationalist, and we are looking to, because white supremacy and white nationalism is far greater of a threat than, I don't know, Islamic Jihad.
Yeah. Well, if we don't stand up for the basic tenets of this country, then it's just a moot point, you know, that, you know, then we are the Australia, like the clip you just played. You know, it's, you know, I mean, Australia is a perfect case of when people lose their politicians, find out that they can grab a hell of a lot more power than they've ever had before. It's like a frickin' drug. It's like narcotics. They just
yes.
want more and more and more. So,
yep.
Thanks for letting me call in. Sorry, took so long.
Anytime, man. Anytime. You take care of yourself.
Hey, great call.
Yeah, thank you for chiming in.
Yeah, call me next week after this whole thing is decided and we can figure out what to do. Sorry.
I'll call in next week and explain to you why Alabama won tonight.
Ooh. $5. $5.
I hate Alabama, but they always win games like this. So,
sleeve a golf ball.
Catch you later.
All right, Holger. Oh. Take it easy, man. That was a great call. He brought up some great points. And this is, you know, the 18 enumerated powers of Congress is, you know, it's something that's been forgotten. And it certainly wasn't considered with Obama doesn't care. But now we have a situation where, you know, will the Supreme Court allow the executive branch of government to unilaterally invoke laws irrespective of the Constitution? And this is a really tough thing, and we heard about Australia, we've seen what's being imposed there, and 1200 deaths with 25 million population, and they're shutting down the entire country, and they're weaponizing the police, and they're arresting people for thought. It's really sad. It really is sad.
As China is going into Taiwan, North Korea is firing missiles, and we've got this, which is probably the most important right now.
It's our, you know, it's our freedoms and liberties. I mean, that's what's at stake right now. Tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross and the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Hank Jones with Poly Sports at 5:30 p.m. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad is his latest book. Go to Amazon.com or Paul's website to purchase that book. He's on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan's back with his Cross of the Crescent, the real interfaith dialogue. And if you really want to understand Islam and Christianity, Eric does just an absolutely fantastic job with the interfaith dialogue. You won't get any minutia, but it's really, really a good show if you have the time on Sunday, on Sundays. And then Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. You got G-Ski and Dave on with Airwaves America, and keep G-Ski in your thoughts and prayers. Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And then Paisan Annie with Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on from 1 to 4 p.m. on Friday afternoons with her co-host, Curtis. This Friday, I will be sitting in for Curtis. I believe he will be out. So looking forward to that. Annie has some great guests on the show. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics and Islam and just driving yourself nuts, you want a self-help show, go to Simone Nicole's show Wednesdays, 8 p.m. on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. It is Blog Talk Radio's sister company. And then Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursdays. Go to AudreyRusso.com, R-U-S-S-O.com. Al and I will be back next Monday evening, and certainly we'll watch what's happening with the Supreme Court. Al, we'll see what's happening with these oral arguments, and let's just hope that the Supreme Court does the right thing and they strike down this unilateral edict that's issued by dictator Joe Biden, unconstitutionally issued by Joe Biden, weaponizing OSHA. So it's just it's unbelievable what we are witnessing today in America. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I don't know what, you know, Oja brought up some good points. The 18 enumerated powers of the federal government, you can go on the line, you can check it out. You just pick up the U.S. Constitution and go to Article 1, Section 8, and you will see all 18 enumerated powers listed. And we can see how the federal government has violated each and every one of our articles in the U.S. Constitution. It should never have gotten to this. But, you know, Joe Biden is the perfect chimpanzee who's myopic. He's deaf. He's dumb. Certainly nobody could be that stupid. But unfortunately, he's the right man for the job because to start the dismantling of our constitutional republic. So thank you. I want to thank Bigfoot, Big Patriot, Ducky, Joe Gibson, Son of Sense Talk Radio, iGuy, Sue from New Mexico, great call, and Holger, great call. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We'll see you next week, and go Alabama. I mean, go Georgia. Go Bama. Go Georgia.
Adios, amigos.
That's all, folks. Drain the Swamp is right. Ducky put in the chat room, Drain the Swamp. Boy, that is so true. God.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
I know. It really is.
The Swamp has powers.
I just, you know, and they continue, these leftists continue to show their hands, and that's the problem. No, Sotomayor's comments were they were summarily rejected. I mean, even the left-wing news media outlets were cringing over her comments. And it just goes to show it's emotion that she's running on versus the Constitution. And, you know, you understand as far as being a human being, certainly you have compassion. But, you know, at what point do you not invoke the U.S. Constitution? I mean, we keep hearing this ad nausea. We're a nation of laws. We're a rule of law. Well, we're not a rule of law if you continue to rule based on emotion. And when do you start slapping down the executive branch and saying you can't unilaterally invoke these edicts? That's the other thing.
Well, Rona McDaniel, silent. She
yeah.
is, as you said, call her Rona Romney, because
Romney.
That's the problem, is the GOP is silent on this.
Yeah.
And they should be screaming at the top of their lungs that OSHA is not mandated to take this on. They're skirting the laws. They should try and pass a law to get this done if they firmly believe it, and the people will decide.
Right. That is correct.
But,
yeah, that is
absolutely doing this through
correct.
The mandate, yeah, doing this through a mandate is short-circuiting the system to pass a law without having to go through the rigorous and often tedious process of passing a law. It's not meant to be easy. Our founding fathers didn't want it to be easy. They wanted it to be difficult. That's why there's three branches of government, because we don't have a king. It's blah, 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 all that same stuff.
You know, I found an article today when I was going through some stuff for the show. I came across a WorldNet Daily article that I had saved. And it was written on August the 9th of 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And it's titled, "Welcome to 1938. First they came for the unvaccinated." And now, mind you, this is August the 9th of 2021. This is 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Allen Root wrote it. He goes, "First, the papers, vaccine mandates and vaccine passports are just like 1938 when the Gestapo demanded papers from every German. Republicans asked for papers from migrants who had broken into the country, criminals. Democrats said, no, that's racist. Republicans asked for papers once every 2 years for federal elections to prove you have the right to vote. Democrats said, no, that's racism. Now the Democrats want American citizens, not illegal aliens, not criminals, but patriots born in the United States to produce papers 24/7. We'll need papers to enter restaurants, bars, nightclubs, concerts, casinos, conventions, and hotels, and to board a train, plane, or bus. We'll need papers to enter a supermarket or we'll starve to death, all for the crime of being unvaccinated against, wait for it, the flu." That was 5 months ago.
You got to read that next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll send you a copy of it. I just thought it was very fitting. I was like, whoa. Yeah. So great points by both Sue and Holger. That was just two great calls there, that talking about the about OSHA overstepping, and of course the Holger with the Constitution. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, this is very troubling.
Mm-hmm.
I find this extremely troubling.
Yes. Very.
I'm not getting
very
a
much
sense
so.
Of I'm not getting a sense of anything.
Well,
usually
what
I
did
get
you
a sense of things? But
when you were listening to oral arguments, what did anything sway you or impact you while you were listening? I mean, did you get any type of did you get a feeling out of that?
I only got 26 minutes into a 2-hour video or audio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost hostile towards the NFIB lawyer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Friday's oral arguments, but I didn't hear any today. It just, I was really struck by the use of the terminology grave danger. I mean, it was like every time they want to make a point, well, employees are in grave danger. Employees are in grave. I mean, now we're talking about a variant that is not as severe as the previous variant, the Delta variant. And the herd immunity, as Sue pointed out, is what's going to get us through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, that's what's happening. I mean, if we have 699 deaths from the China virus in January of 2022 versus 4,000 to 6,900, then something's going on. You got to let the flu go through.
You got to just
power through it.
Wow.
They haven't found a cure for the common cold forever. There's a reason why.
Yeah, and you know what? The last time I was at the doctor, he said to me, have you gotten your flu vaccine yet? There's a different strain of flu, and so it's different. The shot will be different from last year's. And I said, no, I'll pass on it. Well, but there's a different strain, and they've changed. So wait a minute now. So now you've come up with a different serum for the flu vaccine, and it's not your standard flu. So that means that you're updating these. So isn't the China virus the same thing?
Hey Vito, it's just like updating the software in your computer. Come on, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it.
Well, I'm just waiting for my doctor to say, well, I'm sorry, you're not vaccinated, I can't take you. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Well, all right, let's say that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, I've got no health insurance. At least for me, if that happens to me, now I've got no health insurance.
Yeah.
Does that
what
mean
do you
I
do?
Drop my health insurance provider? Do I find another one? Then all of a sudden I've got a gap in my policy of not being insured. Red flags pop up everywhere.
No.
Then I become uninsurable. And then, okay, I'm able to weather through the storm, power through it till I'm old enough for Medicare or Medicare. And then I can't get Medicare because I don't have my vaccination card.
That's interesting. That's going to be the $64,000 question, Al. What
you
happens?
You want to say Medicare? This is how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Medicare is like a Ponzi scheme. It's, you know, it's one generation paying for the other. It can only last so long. We know it's financially weak or unstable. Too many users, not enough people paying into it. What better way to restart the system or to get to lighten the financial load?
Yep, true that.
But I don't know. I'm just talking shit. I don't really know. Just trying to play it out and see how it goes from there, because I'll tell you, if this mandate goes through, my insurance provider might demand that I have a card next time I want to prescribe. Oh, we require XYZ healthcare. We require proof of vaccination or else we'll have to terminate our we won't be able to provide services for you.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then it gets really real. And where do you go to? There's nowhere to go to.
Right. Right.
People have no, I don't know. People have no clue what's around the corner. It's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like, but another president could just undo the mandate, just like an executive order.
That is true. And that's probably...
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Can they do that? Can another president come in and just undo all of it?
Yes. I mean, look. Well, we already have a precedent for that, right? I mean, you've got Dementia Joe came in and undid the executive orders that were put forth by President Trump. So this is an executive. This amounts to an executive order, right? He repealed the seven countries that were on the no fly list, the no travel list. He repealed that
right.
Immediately. So why couldn't you take this unconstitutional, you know, dictatorial edict and rescind it, with a new president? That's something that
but Trump done. Couldn't get rid of Obamacare. Could he?
Yeah, but that wasn't an executive order. That was the Congress needed to do that, and of course that's where Paul Ryan was part of the D.C. establishment cabal. So, but now you've got these edicts that were put forth, you know, via executive order, and that's how you had Biden overturning the oil, the pipeline,
right?
All of the
executive orders,
right? So it wasn't Congress that established that law because he bypassed it.
Mm-hmm. But is a mandate a law? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know anybody talking about this stuff. Is the mandate a law? Is it legal? If it's going through the Supreme Court and they rule on it, then it's legal.
Then it would be legal, right? So what would prohibit then the next president coming in and saying and revoking OSHA mandates? It was no different than President Trump signed an executive order rescinding 25,000 rules and regulations that were impeding business and small business.
Mm-hmm.
That was reimposed by Dementia Joe.
Yeah. Safety and hazard. Guy needs to come in and I don't know if your bathroom entrance was not of the right width, then OSHA would come in and fine you and force you to change all your bathrooms to accommodate a wheelchair.
Oh, right. Under the Americans with Disability Act.
Yeah.
You know about that, don't you?
Well, luckily, we were able to bypass that to a certain degree because we were a small business. But if we were a bigger business, because I remember OSHA used to get such – they used to be such assholes because they would destroy businesses.
Right.
For trucking, forced the truckers to – You had to tandem truckers to get a load across the country because it was, 8 hours on, 12 hours off, or whatever it was to get to 24.
No more than 10 hours on the road.
Yeah, 10 hours on, 14 off. And so it forced tandem trucking. But it ended up, just because of a few bad apples and those bad drivers, they were still a problem. It did make the road safer, I will tell you that. But at the cost of trucking, your goods across the country went up.
Yep. Well, the coin toss is about to occur. It looks like the national championship game is going to start. So.
Excellent. All right. Enjoy the game.
All right, you too.
Go Georgia. Go
Georgia.
Georgia
won the coin toss.
Excellent. All right. Adios. I'm going to go watch the game.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you. Hey, thanks, Sue, and thank you for the call, and have a nice evening, and take care of that. I hope you your breathing part. Oh,
yeah, feel better. Yeah. Bye for now.
That's all, folks. Thank you, music box.